This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. We've got three Game 7s in the first round of the playoffs, which is absolutely spectacular. You're lucky if you get one or two. We've got three. We almost got six. Let's recap what happened last night. The reason we do not have six is Dallas gets the job done against Nashville. And I just keep thinking about what was happening down the stretch with Winnipeg and Nashville. They just didn't seem like the teams they were the previous year. Now, why is that? I'm not sure. Rene, Hullabuck, you can make the case, were not as good this year as they were last year. Injuries, certainly the case as well. They went out in Nashville and traded for Brian Boyle. Barely was able to play in this series. Not a ton of minutes for sure. Winnipeg, they made the splash with Kevin Hayes. Okay, not great. Is it just a case of trying to sustain that greatness? Is it playing in a division that, quite frankly, might be one of the best divisions in all of the National Hockey League? When you take a look at the teams that are in the Central Division with St. Louis and the resurgence they had in the second half of the year, Nashville and Winnipeg have to play each other four times during the course of the year. How Colorado played, especially in the second half of the season. And really, when you look at it, as inconsistent as they were at times, still were right there as a playoff team for much of the way. You look at that Central, and is it just the fact that they're all kind of devouring each other? And then you've got the upstarts in Colorado and St. Louis that didn't have the rigors of the playoff races over the last couple of years, especially Nashville. Go to a Stanley Cup final in 2017, second round last year, losing to Winnipeg, and now this year maybe just a little too beat up. Maybe the competition in that division is just a little too strong to see the disappointment that you saw in Nashville, Winnipeg. I still believe when you look at the roster, when you look at the goaltending, how well coached they are, that it is odd to see both of those teams gone in the first round of the playoffs. But when you looked at them all year long, there seemed to be a little something missing. Now, Laviolette and Maurice have both been there a little bit. All right. Certainly exceeding the length of how most coaches are in any situation in the National Hockey League. And you wonder if a fresh start, a fresh face might be something that could help both of these teams get it to the next level. And Maurice got the Winnipeg Jets to a conference final. Laviolette got the Nashville Predators to a Stanley Cup final. And they're both excellent coaches. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they deserve to be fired because they did poor jobs. I'm not saying that. But in a transient position anyway, where nobody stays for a long period of time, where even a Joel Quenneville can get fired in Chicago after winning three Stanley Cups, I think ownership has to look at those two franchises and say, would a little bit of a fresh start at coach be the right thing for this talent-laden roster? I don't know. I'm not close enough to either of those two teams. I know Kevin Cheveldayoff pretty well, the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, but certainly not well enough to go out there and, you know, pick his brain to figure out what he's thinking right now. EJ kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, Maurice was somebody that many thought should have lost his job for Winnipeg underachieving before the run last year. So it's not like it hasn't been in the room. And Laviolette, for all the success he had in places like Carolina, where he won a cup, Philadelphia, where he went to a Stanley Cup final, the Islanders, where he got them to the playoffs three consecutive years when no other coach besides Al Arbor was able to do that, he still got fired in all three of those places. Peter Laviolette's shelf life, he'd probably be the first to admit it, is not very much longer than 4 or 5 years in any of the stops he goes. So when you're trying to evaluate where those two franchises end up, as far as changing the coach, that might be a direction you go into. And I can see Maurice and Laviolette, if they got fired today, to find jobs before next season, because I think they're great coaches. It's just something that has to be, I think, a part of just evaluating the direction on where those two franchises go. Nashville loses in overtime, 2-1, the final score there. Nashville gets the first goal. You figure they're going to have a little bit of momentum. Watson scores, 5:47 into the game. Blake Como gets his first of the playoffs, 5:20 into the second period. And there we sat until less than 3 minutes to go in the overtime when John Klingberg gets his first of the year. So here are two teams going at it for six games, and all three goal scorers in a pivotal game six get their first tallies of the year. I thought both goaltenders were absolutely outstanding. Bishop, at the end of the day, I think outplayed Rene. 14A, and that's one of the reasons Dallas advances. This is one of the rare series that I got right. I thought that Dallas would win this series. I said Dallas in seven because I thought the goaltending, at least Ben Bishop going in, seemed to be a little bit better, and I think that was certainly the difference in the series. So the Stars advance. So congratulations to them on moving on. They'll now take on the St. Louis Blues in the second round. I think that's going to be a fantastic series, and I'll have a chance to make my predictions in the round number two coming up tomorrow, or maybe wait till Thursday because we still have a couple of things that have to be decided there as far as the matchups are concerned. We got the two game sevens tonight. We'll have to wait until the end of play on Wednesday to see who the Islanders will finally play. Will it be Carolina or will it be Washington? And as the other game that happened last night, Hurricanes, no surprise, hold home ice advantage. All six home teams have won in the previous six games. Now, we saw a road heavy series between Colorado, between St. Louis and Winnipeg, eventually broke with St. Louis winning at home in game six. Will this happen in game seven where finally a road team will win? So you got to give the Capitals, the Hurricanes win game seven and kind of break that, and snap that trend. But you look at it and you just see the defending Stanley Cup champions in their own building in a game seven. That's a lot to ask the Hurricanes to go out there and do. And I just wonder how the Hurricanes feel inside that room, right? They have this miracle run to the playoffs that nobody expected them to do. And now they forced a game seven. Could there be a sense of accomplishment in that dressing room? I wouldn't think so, just because you've got guys like Justin Williams, Jordan Staal, guys that have been there and done that, can remind some of the young kids like Tara Vanen and Aho, hey, don't feel like there's some sense if we accomplish something just because we forced the defending Stanley Cup champions to a game seven. Here's what we can do here. We've got a chance to beat them, advance to the second round, and then we got an Islander team that's been sitting there who we think that we can beat. So the Hurricanes have to be looking, just like the Islanders are looking, and say, we can go on a little bit of a run here. So you don't want to spoil that by missing the opportunity to advance. So that's going to be a great one to analyze. Great game last night. Even the goal that was taken away, taken off the board, if you remember on the high stick, it didn't seem like the Hurricanes were going to be beaten. It really didn't seem that way. Again, the team that scores the first goal does not win. We saw it with Nashville and Dallas. We saw it with Washington and Carolina. Connolly gets the first goal, comes 5:06 into the game, and there it stands. And then the worst enemy of the Washington Capitals, Warren Fogle, the guy that knocks Oshie out earlier in the series, ties the game up midway through. So 5 minutes later, the Hurricanes have an answer. But then Ovechkin gets the tally. Less than 5 minutes to play in the period. Retake the lead 2-1. So now the Hurricanes are certainly going to be tested. They give up the first goal. They give up a late goal in the first period. But Tara Vanen scores early in the second period. Major statement there. Don't let the Washington Capitals get a chance to play with a lead. Immediately tie the game up at two. And then it stabilized. And then it was just a matter of who was going to blink. And the blinking happened by Holpe and the Capitals when Jordan Staal scores his second of the playoffs, 3:51 in. Williams gets his first of the postseason against his old team. Dougie Hamilton puts it away with the empty netter. And the Hurricanes, an apoplectic building, they've got to feel satisfied, the fan-wise, the way this team's played. Three games at home, three wins at home. Now you cross your fingers and toes and hope that they can win that game seven. Could be a major turning point in this franchise's history. You do have guys that have played in game sevens before. You do have guys on that team that have won cups. And don't forget who your head coach is, Rod Brind'Amour, who was a part of that 2006 team that pulled off the miracle and got the Carolina Hurricanes a cup coming out of the lockout. So there's a lot for the Hurricanes to feel good about. As inexperienced as they may seem on the surface, you dig a little deeper and you realize there are guys that have been in this situation before. Now you got the two game sevens tonight. I mean, how great is this if you're a hockey fan? Doubleheader, both games, winner take all. Maple Leafs and the Bruins. It's been a back and forth series for both of these teams. Can the Maple Leafs win a third game on the road? Doesn't seem possible, does it? Boston's been great all year. Can they drop another game at home? But the way these playoffs are going, anything is possible. Anything can happen. Do not rule out the Leafs. Gotta stay out of the box. I just have a feeling that it's going to be a penalty by Toronto that's going to cost them, and Boston's going to get a power play goal to win it. I like Boston tonight. Golden Knights and the Sharks. The Sharks have pulled off the impossible. We talked about it yesterday. Three straight losses in the series. Outscored 16-6. Martin Jones pulled twice in those three games. And then what happens? The Sharks bounce back with two straight wins, including a thrilling double overtime win in Vegas. But now the Sharks have to realize they still have not accomplished anything. Just because they forced a Game 7, first time ever that they've been down 3-1 to even force a Game 7. They've never won a series when down 3-1. Golden Knights facing elimination just for the second time in franchise history when they, of course, lost Game 5 in the Stanley Cup Final last year against the Washington Capitals. So the Sharks can't feel that sense of accomplishment. It's their turn to win 3 in a row. I loved the Golden Knights going into this series. It doesn't seem like either team can play with very much momentum, so it's an up-for-grabs series. You like the home team, so even though I picked the Golden Knights to win this series, my feel is that the Sharks have figured it out. More importantly, Martin Jones has figured it out. And Fleury, who's won cups, okay, he's been there and he's done that. What's his thinking? We can make excuses about the goal, but the fact is that's one that Marc-Andre Fleury would like to have back, the Tomas Hertl goal in the second overtime back on Sunday. How much does that play a factor in his mind as he enters this winner-take-all game? Jones is feeling good. Fleury's feeling down. First goal is going to be huge. I know last night it wasn't, but I could see the first goal being big time in this one, especially for the Golden Knights, who have been front runners in this series. They've gotten momentum. When they get that first goal, they seem to be able to feed off of it. If they get the first goal, take the Sharks crowd out of it, that could be huge. So I'd keep an eye on the first goal in both of these games tonight, but especially the first goal in San Jose. So a 7 o'clock Eastern time start, a 10 o'clock Eastern time start. You can't ask for anything more. Two game sevens, and then tomorrow, a game seven in our nation's capital between the Caps and the Hurricanes. So three game sevens here in the first round. We've had a couple of sweeps. We had a couple of game sevens, a slew of game sixes, surprises galore. So we've got two great days of hockey. Would have been great to see Nashville force another doubleheader game sevens tomorrow, but hey, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. We've got three of them, and it's going to be awesome. Let's hear from you at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Irene says, with many of the top teams out and many high seeds with inconsistent play, who do you see as the favorite to win the cup? This has been the most unpredictable and wide open playoffs in recent memory. Every team left has a legitimate shot to win this year. That's a great question because who knows? I mean, I could sit here and tell you I can't see Colorado making a run. I can't see Carolina making a run. But why not? I mean, if those teams all get out of their first round series, they would have done it in underdog fashion. I guess anything is possible. But let's not forget, especially if Washington wins tomorrow, they're the defending Stanley Cup champions. So if Boston's gone and the Lightning are gone, Nashville's gone, Winnipeg's gone, Calgary's gone, but there's still one team that won their division. That's still one team that won the Stanley Cup last year that could be left if they can win that Game 7. So I still look at the Capitals right as we speak now, the team with the best shot to win a championship. So we'll see how that works out. David Hines says, I noticed watching Dallas and Calgary series that there were Dallas fans wearing Minnesota North Stars jerseys and Calgary fans wearing Atlanta Flame jerseys. I find this odd because I don't see Jet fans wearing Atlanta Thrasher jerseys. What's your take on fans wearing the jersey of pre-located franchises? Do you find it bizarre or do you just not mind it at all? Well, here's the thing, okay? I'm not sure about Atlanta. I mean, they weren't there that long, but the name, the Atlanta Flames, Flames are basically, you know, more tied to Atlanta than certainly they are Calgary. The Flames honored their old place in Atlanta because their A had the Flaming A logo from when they were in Atlanta. So the Flames do embrace their past in Atlanta. The same goes for the Dallas Stars, North Stars. That's a classic jersey. It's a gorgeous jersey. It's similar to the colors they already have. So that kind of makes sense. Winnipeg doesn't really have much of an attachment to Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta, honestly, and I really do not want to disrespect any Thrasher fans that are out there, but it's almost like that franchise never existed. They weren't there for a very long time. They were god-awful. They went to the playoffs once and got swept by the Rangers, so they never won a playoff game. They were never really a legitimate threat. They had some great players, but, you know, great adjacent. I mean, Ilya Kovalchuk was a very good player for them, but he eventually established himself in other places, like the Devils going to a Stanley Cup final and now with the Los Angeles Kings. Chris Chelios closed out his career in Atlanta. Bobby Holik played there. There were some players that played in Atlanta. But honestly, as diehard a hockey fan as I am, and I did call a couple of games at Phillips Arena Atlanta with the Rangers, there's nothing there. They didn't have gorgeous jerseys. There's no real history. I mean, unless you're a Damian Rhodes fan, I just don't know why you would really tie the franchise together. So I think if it's a great franchise that used to be there with nice jerseys, I think that's really the thing. You know, I could see Hurricanes fans wearing Whaler jerseys because they did embrace their past recently by wearing the Whaler jerseys. The Whaler jerseys are classic. That makes sense to me. There was nothing classic about the Thrashers. They just, again, I don't mean any disrespect, but I guess at the end of the day I do. There's just not a lot of there with the Atlanta Thrashers. Bill says, what is your idea of goals that are scored with the potential of goaltender interference come from the booth instead of a coach's challenge in the playoffs? I think they're wanting to cut down on the number of them. I mean, there's so much traffic in front of the net. We talked this with EJ yesterday. Seems like every goal is a deflection. There's so much traffic in front of the net. Do you really want what football is proposing with pass interference, that late in the game, every time there's a goal scored, we've got to hold our breath now to see if it's going to be buzzed down? I mean, the coach only has one challenge. If he's already used his challenge, then he's not going to do it. So I don't want to sit there and just have a parade to the penalty box going to Toronto and trying to figure out if every goal was scored was clean. I'd just get too crazy. Forever TH says, great effort by the Hurricanes to push it to Game 7 last night. As for tonight, I'm pulling for my Leafs to win after the way that they dominated most of Game 1. Is that the blueprint going into tonight? Yeah, but again, we've talked about this with this series. Was it a domination in Game 1 by Toronto or just a no-show by Boston, because they played a much better game in Game 2 and 1? So Boston, to me, I think is the better team. I think we can establish that. That doesn't mean the best team always wins. But I think when both teams come with their A game, Boston's better. So it's really just a matter of what Boston team is going to show up tonight. Because it seems like it's every other game. Just when they have figured it out and they win a game, they come up with a stinker. They can't afford a stinker tonight because there's no tomorrow. And I really think the Boston Bruins can win the Stanley Cup. I think they can, but they've just been way too inconsistent to believe they can even get out of this series and win tonight rather than go on any kind of a run. JR, what's the real threat do you see from either the Canes or the Caps for the Islanders? I just don't see either team being a problem. I'm hoping for Tavares versus Islanders in the next round, but you can't look ahead. If there's anything these playoffs have shown, it's unpredictability. I just don't want the defending champs, because at the end of the day, if the defending Stanley Cup champions get out of the first round, that's usually their Achilles heel, right? First, it's, you know, do you make the playoffs? Because it's tough to make the playoffs now. And then you got a Game 7. I just have this feeling that if Washington survives tomorrow, they can make a huge run. They really could, because they've been there and they know the adversity. They faced it before. They faced elimination before, and they always seem to be able to handle it recently since they got over the hump of losing to the Penguins over those last few years. So if I'm an Islander fan, I think I'd rather have the Hurricanes than the Caps just for that reason. And that's no disrespect to the Hurricanes. It's just, do you really want to dance with a team that you are so familiar with over the last few years, especially in the postseason, and a team that just won a Stanley Cup 5 minutes ago? I know the tie-ins are great, you know, with Barry Trotz going up against his old team. The storylines are phenomenal, but I just have a feeling that, and the Hurricanes could win that series, there's no question, but you might not want to dance with the defending champs. Sam Diaz says, playoffs have been ridiculous. If Caps lose tomorrow, which is crazy that they're in this position, all four division winners would be eliminated in the first round. Has that ever happened? Also, with Martin Jones showing up tonight, I think Vegas will break him tonight. We'll see. I mean, he certainly do, considering how he was playing earlier. You can't say he's unstoppable. He certainly wasn't stopping many pucks in the three losses that they had in 2, 3, and 4, so anything is possible. Here's the thing. When you talk about the four division champions, we've only had this format for a very brief period of time where you have all these different divisions with the four divisions. So we have never seen, going back to the 1 through 8 with the two conferences, of the top seeds being eliminated in the first round. So no, this is unprecedented. This is crazy. But when you look at the standings, was there really that much of a difference between St. Louis, Nashville, and Winnipeg? They were all banging on the door the very last day of the season. Who was going to win that division, right? The Islanders were not eliminated from winning the Metropolitan Division until the final weekend. They could have very easily won the Metro instead of the Washington Capitals. San Jose went into a funk at the end of the season. Otherwise, most of the year, San Jose and the Flames were 1-2 and kind of flip-flopping back and forth where who was the best team in the Pacific Division. The only division that wasn't up for grabs was Tampa. So really, outside of just the anomaly of Tampa just being so good at being beaten in the first round, was there really that much of a difference between the Islanders and the Capitals and the Hurricanes or Colorado and Calgary and San Jose and, you know, Nashville and Winnipeg. I mean, you take a look at it, there really wasn't that big of a difference. Somebody has to finish in first, but the only team that was really truly dominant, that you could be absolutely floored they lost in the first round, is Tampa. Tim says, Werenski and Jones for Columbus, Heiskanen and Klingberg for Dallas are two defensemen, the new importance in the league instead of number one center. The talent those four possess is off the charts. Those four players were instrumental in their respective team series. Well, Tim, you're right. You build up the middle, right? You build with your centers, your D, and your goaltender. And I have never, ever, ever seen a team win a championship without having very good defense. I mean, even if your goaltender is great, I mean, you need those really good guys. You need that top pairing that can shut down the other team, that can block shots, that can defend. Because at the end of the day, it's not necessarily the goal you score, but it's the goal you do not allow. And that first line of defense is that D. All right. If, especially now that we're seeing less clutching and grabbing and it's more open, good D wins. I mean, you look at last year, look how good the defense was for the Washington Capitals and for the Vegas Golden Knights, you know? And I'm not talking about offensive defense, but I mean good stay-at-home guys. And you look at the championship teams going through all the years, whether it's, you know, the Bobby Orrs or the Scott Stevens, or you go to the Brian Leeches of the world. I mean, the dominant teams always had that dominant defenseman. Scott Niedermeyer won in New Jersey. He won in Anaheim by being an all-around good forward, a good defenseman that could score and could stop the other team, good skaters. That's what you need. Centers are very, very important as well. But if you've got the blue line, I just feel like you can find everything else. Teams with really good D seem to go far to me. And I think that, to me, is the priority. If you've got – and I'm not talking about – listen, Carlson's great. I mean, Erik Karlsson is great. But I'm not talking about necessarily an Erik Karlsson. I'm talking about, you know, a real stud defenseman that could score but in the key moments can shut you down. And I think that's what's really important in this league for sure. Calvin says, I know I've killed Martin Jones a lot, but wow, how good has he been in that game six versus San Jose? Do you think the Sharks were out of their feet in this game, by period three and chances of taking game seven, Sharks or Vegas? Listen, the shots on goal clearly belong to Vegas, but the San Jose Sharks hung in there. EJ brought it up yesterday. You look at the 59 shots. A lot of them were clean looks by Jones, so there wasn't a lot of traffic in front of the net. They cut down on the number of odd man rushes, which is key. So of the 59 shots, how many of them were really high quality? Jones made tremendous saves, but it wasn't like he was standing on his head because he was screened, couldn't see the shots, deflections. They did a better job than you think. And then, of course, they found a way to score in the game in overtime. I think San Jose's got to feel real good. And if I'm Vegas, I feel good too. I did get 59 shots on goal. I've been even with you all series. I did have a 3-game winning streak in this series. I've won on the road in this series. So I think both teams come in very confident. But as far as Jones and Fleury is concerned, Jones can feel good about his performance. I'm not sure Fleury could feel good about his, but he's a defending Stanley Cup, Western Conference champion. He's a guy who's won a Stanley Cup before. He's lost his job and then got it back and then lost it again and then got it back again. The guy's been on a roller coaster in his career. I'm not sure there's much that gets to him, but if I had to guess who's the more confident goaltender going into this game, I would think it's going to be Jones. So this is going to be fun. Two game sevens at 7-10. I hope they both go 12 overtimes. How great would that be? And then, of course, we've got the game seven tomorrow. So we'll be back with you again tomorrow. We'll be able to analyze everything as far as the West will be set by tomorrow. And then all you have to do is wait for the East. And we'll also know whether it's going to be the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Boston Bruins taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. So we will have most of our series already done, just one up for grabs, and we'll analyze all that tomorrow. You can get in touch with me at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. We will talk to you again on Wednesday. This was the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.